This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free. All on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Payoff up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
What's going on, everybody? Justin Morgenstein here with another edition of Phillies Today. A very disappointing and unsatisfying edition of Phillies Today as the season's over. Phillies get bounced in the NLDS in four games by the New York Mets. All of our biggest fears come to life as the offense goes out with a whimper once again here. Disaster of a series from the lineup, from the bullpen, from the manager, I thought, as well, and just ran into a hot Mets team that completely took advantage of those deficiencies. And they move on to the NLCS as an 89-win wild card team. And feels a lot like the 2022 Phils, can't lie. And I'm recording this on a Thursday night, just about 24 hours after the fact. And I can't feel anything but pure disappointment after a summer that was just filled with great memories, awesome individual performances, which ultimately are wasted. Similar to last year, it felt like the Diamondback series all over again. You couldn't feel anything but helpless at so many points over the course of these four games. And as much as we all wanted to believe, and as much as I maybe tricked myself into believing that the Phillies offense would come back to its first half form, it was probably just never going to happen. So I'm going to get into it. I'll give you a quick recap of the series, some takeaways as well, plus get into some things that, you know, I think need to be done this offseason by Dave Dombrowski, who, you know, let's face it, is a big part of this too, and definitely should get a large chunk of the blame as to why this team ultimately did not get where they intended to go. And after the deadline, I feared that the lack of aggression could be a big reason why this team didn't get back to the World Series. And that proved to be true, given the lack of production they got from their three acquisitions and Carlos Estevez, Austin Hayes, and Tanner Banks. And I saw a lot of people on Twitter yesterday going back and forth saying that they were, you know, still pleased with the deadline and just mainly the fact that the team held on to a lot of its blue chip prospects, Andrew Painter, Aiden Miller, Justin Crawford, etc. And I love all of them. I'm very excited to see them as Phillies here, and I think they're all going to be very good players. And again, I'm happy they are still in the organization. But we have a window here. Bryce Harper is 31, Kyle Schwarber 31, Aaron Nola 31, Trey Turner 31, Zach Wheeler's 34 years old. You get to this point where the core is not getting any younger, and you have no championship to show for three postseason runs here. And after making two deep playoff runs and then winning a division, it feels like time is just slipping away to get this thing done. And I can't feel anything but just pure worry as to if this core can eventually find a way to get it done. And last point I'll make before I get into kind of the meat and potatoes of this thing is that you didn't really have to trade the whole farm to make significant upgrades. Look at the Padres. I know they gave away some of their, you know, better end prospects, but they get Jason Adam and Tanner Scott, and we'll see if they end up moving on against the Dodgers tonight. But two really good back end of the bullpen guys to add to Robert Suarez, who's already a stud, and is paying huge dividends for them right now. So I'm disappointed in the front office a bit. I'm disappointed, you know, in a lot of different groups here, but I think Dave Dombrowski in the front office, they are at the forefront of this as well. And there are going to be changes made this offseason, that is for sure. But all the fills that I mentioned, you know, in terms of age with Bryce, Schwarber, Nola, Turner, Wheeler, etc., you know, they're still going to be here for the foreseeable future. So this core is kind of what you got, and who knows how many years left you have to do this. So I'm going to get into specifics from the series, just where this kind of went wrong for the Phils, and man, it's just so disappointing. Tough day today, really is. So without further ado, let's do it. The lineup, just an absolutely dreadful series, which, like I said, just really felt like a continuation of, you know, the second half of the season and what we saw in the NLCS last year, with everyone aside from Bryce Harper and Nick Castellanos struggling mightily, you know, in all four games here. The rest of the lineup, besides Bryce and Casty, went 13 for 100. Yeah, you heard that right. 13 for 100, 130 batting average. Guys not named Bryce Harper and Nick Castellanos. You know, so let's go through it. Kyle Schwarber, who I love. You got, if you listen to this podcast, I can't tell you how much I love Kyle Schwarber and what he brings to the team on the field, off the field, the leadership, everything. I think everyone agrees. He sort of sets the tone for this lineup at the top, and he has the leadoff bomb in game one. The place is rocking, and he goes hitless the rest of the series after he gets two hits in game one, including, obviously, what was the clinching strikeout against Diaz, who he can't figure out for his life, it seems. He's like 0 for 11 with 9 strikeouts or somewhere, something like that. Trey Turner, let's get into him. Just an absolute dud of a playoff series. Where he goes 2 for 15 with 2 singles. And you truly have to question what the rest of this contract is going to look like. You got 9 years on this contract still remaining. And, you know, put the offensive struggles aside for a second, but we can talk about those all day. I think there's a chance we don't see Trey Turner play shortstop again here in a Phillies uniform. You know, he either might move to second base and, you know, flip him and Bryson Stott, or just move him to the outfield already, which I think is where I'm leaning, especially considering the lack of production you've gotten from this outfield over the course of the past couple seasons here. And he can't field his position. He almost totally botches a double play yesterday. And obviously we know it's a struggle, routine plays the entire season. And he's just, you saw on the other end what an elite shortstop, what a $300 million shortstop looks like in Francisco Lindor. He's an incredible player, man, and I got to give it to him because he has been beyond clutch for the Mets in these past 10 days where, you know, he has the home run in Atlanta. He had a good series against Milwaukee, and obviously he hits that grand slam last night, and he's a phenomenal leader, man. He's a phenomenal ball player, so I will give a ton of credit to him. There are a lot of Mets who I dislike, that is for sure. Francisco Lindor, not one of them. He's a fantastic player, and I'd love to have him on my ball club. So the Mets have a good one up there, and you know, he deserves all the praise that he is getting in terms of MVP conversation, et cetera, and just being a cornerstone of that franchise. And so moving off Trey, then he moved to third base right next to him. And I have no idea what we just saw from Alec Boehm over the past few days. He had what essentially felt like his Ben Simmons, you know, playoff moment or playoff series, where he's obviously struggling coming in. And game one goes how, you know, it had been going since he came back from the hand injury, which is just bad at bats, bad swings. Nothing like what we saw in the beginning of the year where he earns a spot as an all-star starter. He's the starting third baseman for the National League in the all-star game this year. So then Rob sits him down for game two, which I was fine with considering just the performance on the field and even worse, just the horrible attitude which he shows on a consistent basis. Alec Boehm had to have led the league by 50 in terms of helmet slams and bat slams this year. Just, he has some of the worst body language you'll ever see, where he's pouting, complaining to anyone who's willing to listen. It's total loser optics, and it just felt like he was in his own head throughout the entire series. So he sits game two, then he comes in to pinch hit, and it's a one pitch out, which was just beyond poetic. And I don't think he ever mentally recovered from that. And yesterday, it snowballs into, you know, one of the most scared, mentally weak performances I've ever seen. No conviction in the field, quick at-bats again, and just seemingly can't do anything right at that point. So that was just, you know, lovely to see out of your all-star third baseman. I wouldn't be surprised if the Phils explored what they could get for Alec Boehm this offseason. And obviously, that might be short-sighted, but he's got two more arbitration years left, which is good for teams that don't want to take on a huge salary. And with Aiden Miller, who I already mentioned, rising through the minors, might not be ready next year, but short term, he's going to be coming up here. It wouldn't shock me if they explored their options with Alec Boehm here in the offseason. JT gives you absolutely nothing in this series. He might be cooked offensively, frankly. Didn't have a great year in terms of production at the plate. I know he had the knee issues, which, you know, obviously does play a part, but just not what you expect from JT. And he has 1 year left on his deal, too. So that is something to monitor as well. Just awful, awful at-bats for him through these 4 games. And he ends up hitless. And for a guy who kind of anchors the bottom of that lineup, it's just inexcusable. It can't happen. Bryson Stott has the big hit in game 2. Nothing after that. Finishes the series 2-for-11. Brandon Marsh, absolutely nothing all series. Goes 1-for-13. You know, people could talk about him not hitting left-handed pitching, and I don't even know if he could hit right-handed pitching at this point, if we're being honest here. Wouldn't be shocked if he's not on the team next year, or at least they explore their options there as well, because he cannot be an option to start on opening day next year. I can't do it. Just can't do it. I am almost totally over the Brandon Marsh experiment, and we've made a thing about just 3 guys who I mentioned in Stott, Bohm, and Marsh. We made it a thing about, you know, the, quote, daycare over the past couple of years. Well, the daycare is now all in their upper 20s, and they have essentially not improved a whole lot in terms of full season of production, especially when you consider the step down that Bryson Stott took for a full season in 2023. Like, Alec Bohm had a phenomenal first half. I will give him that. And then kind of just tailed off in the second half of the year, and the hand injury kind of compounded everything. You know, Bryson Stott had a disappointing year from start to finish. And he's a phenomenal defensive second baseman. Do I think he's on the team next year? Yes. And do I still like him as a player and think he can, you know, improve offensively? Sure. But man, he took a real step down. And a lot of these guys, you know, quote unquote daycare guys, just have not really, you know, developed in terms of production on the field. So Rojas, whatever. I really can't say I expected much there. I'm sure he'll be in trade discussions as well. Austin Hayes was just never anything close to what they intended when they traded for him. Would not be shocked to see him. I think Matt Gelb said in his, you know, article kind of wrapping everything up, wouldn't be shocked to see him non-tendered and off the team going to next year. And I understand, I'll give him, you know, some slack that he had the kidney thing, but at the same time, some of those at-bats in game 3 were just, I mean, my goodness. If he's not on the team next year, that means he would finish his Phillies career with no walks. No walks. Which is actually just hard to believe. And frankly, it encapsulates perfectly what is wrong with this team and what was wrong in this entire series. Like, you have a guy in Jose Quintana yesterday who, guy cannot throw strikes for his life. Did not have his command. Clearly was not as sharp as he had been heading into the postseason, because he was putting up some pretty phenomenal numbers. But can't throw strikes consistently for his life. And the amount of chase and the amount of blind swings, especially when they were ahead in the count, like 2-0, 3-1 blind swings. It was just unbelievable. And that's the story of this lineup, which obviously the Mets game plan for, because, you know, a 5-year-old could see that, you know, the Phillies are just consistently chasing out of the zone. And it was just awful, awful, awful stuff. And they strike out 38 times in 4 games, and that's pretty much the story. And it's been why, over the past 2 seasons, the process of manufacturing runs different ways has been so difficult for this team. So the lineup, like I said, just a total disaster, as, you know, they go with a whimper. And
whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4, packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get 4 5G phones on us and 4 lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
The other issue was pretty obviously the bullpen, which finishes the division series with an ERA north of 11. your three most dependable guys all season in Hoffman, Strom, who were both All-Stars, and Kerkering, were just absolutely awful. And this is where I think some of the blame falls on Rob Thompson for me. And Rob Thompson is far from their biggest problem. I am totally fine if Rob Thompson is the manager next year. Don't get any of that twisted. But I just thought he had zero feel in this series of when to turn to certain guys in certain situations. To keep Hoffman in that game yesterday, after he gets out of the jam in the fifth and has a high stress, you know, out there, or two outs there, I thought it was insane. And out of every option you have with your season on the line, you go to Carlos Estevez, who has given up just an unbelievable amount of hard contact since he was traded for. And you bring him in a bases loaded situation, and Lindor hits maybe the least shocking grand slam I've ever seen. Like, everyone saw that coming. But I just thought that Wheeler and Sanchez should have been options there. Your season's on the line, but whatever. I'm glad they are well rested for game five. So just, I didn't understand the logic behind it at all. Thought you could have called on these guys to finish the game potentially with your season on the line. And now they don't even get a chance to be able to contribute for you, potentially save what was, you know, a 95 win season for them. And I know it was discussed that the Mets were, you know, maybe picking up some stuff on some of the relievers, maybe some tipping of pitches, and you know, that's all part of the game, assuming that everything is, you know, kosher there. So that's just a credit to them, and it is just such a shame for what was such a great bullpen all year. They just choose to implode, or not choose to. They just imploded at the worst possible time. The lone positive in this series, frankly, I thought was the starting pitching. And I thought that all four guys gave this team a chance to win a ball game, with Wheeler obviously shoving in game one. And then we know that the bullpen just absolutely collapses on him after that, gives you seven shutout innings, and looked Zach Wheeler-esque. And again, I'm very upset he was not able to get into a game here and try to help you save your season, because, you know, there is no tomorrow. Like, you had to give him an opportunity potentially in game four to, you know, be able to save your season, and that didn't happen. And I thought Sanchez was really good in game two. Made the one mistake to Vientos, but other than that, was really sharp. And I think proved Rob Thompson made the right call by making him the second starter. Finishes just a tremendous year for Christopher Sanchez, especially the home numbers are terrific. And each start, that contract that Dave Dombrowski signed is looking better and better. So I will give Dombrowski credit for that, getting that done. That might prove to be a really team-friendly deal, so we will see. For Nola, it was kind of typical Nola, where it was a start where he's effective. I thought the breaking stuff was good, but he just left some pitches up and they hit him for homers. Alonso just, you know, and hits an absolute tank shot opposite field. And, you know, just the homer issue, it's always going to be a thing with Nola. And I will say, though, he was far from the issue in that game, considering it's pretty tough to win a ball game when you throw up a goose egg through seven innings and the offense just looks as stale as it did. And how about Ranger last night, though? I'm very proud of Ranger Suarez. That was one of the wildest starts you'll ever see from a guy in the postseason, where it was seemingly a bases loaded situation every inning, and he just kept finding ways to get out of it. Was really proud of the way he handled himself. Just a gutsy, gutsy performance. Everyone knew how much he was struggling coming in. I don't think anybody could have dreamed that he would give you five scoreless innings. And if they ended up hitting and, you know, winning that game and maybe even the series, I think we'd be talking about that Ranger Suarez performance for a while. So was glad to see Ranger show up when the team really needed him in a tough spot there. I thought he did awesome last night. He was obviously far from their biggest issue, along with the rest of the starting staff. So those are essentially my takeaways from this series. And if I were to tell you how I'm feeling after it, it's more disappointment than anger. Last season, I was angry because they were just the odds-on favorite and clear favorite to win the World Series while they were playing the Diamondbacks, and it just felt like such a golden opportunity when they were the most talented team that just slipped away. As opposed to now, I think that this team was, I don't know if they were really ever going to put it together offensively for an entire postseason, considering what we've seen since August, and it just makes me wonder what their mentality is heading into next year, because all offseason, we all preached how, and they preached too, how important it was to get off to a good start and winning the division and setting themselves up for an easier path to get the job done. And obviously they did all those things besides actually get back to the World Series. And as somebody who loves regular season baseball, and I love the grind of 162, watching every night, being all in a game in May or June, it just feels like none of that's going to matter moving forward. And with some fans, it's going to turn into a Sixers effect, essentially, of being like, okay, talk to me when you get to the postseason. We've seen you fail for 3 years now. Talk to me when you know when you win a postseason series and get back. And I'll be very interested to see how the fans receive this team next year. I don't know if the enthusiasm is going to be the same in the ballpark. And a lot of that will be based off of what happens this offseason. Obviously, you have a pretty big fish out there in Juan Soto who would fit this team perfectly. And, you know, do I expect him to be a Philly? Probably not. But if there's one thing I can rely on with this organization and with this ball club, it is that John Middleton is going to do whatever he can to right the ship, because he is an owner I know is going to be unhappy with how this season turned out. And he's going to go up to Dave Dombrowski, he's going to go up to Sam Fuld and the rest of the front office and say, what do you need from me? What can I do? You know, there are plenty of things that can be done to improve this roster and, you know, fill in some of the holes that were proven to be costly and make this lineup a bit more balanced in terms of approach. And I think it's the first step, considering 2 years of, you know, essentially the same guys here, is kind of changing some things around with the lineup. And the only free agents on this team are Hoffman, who, despite the struggles, I definitely bring back. Estevez, who hopefully gone after this. Spencer Turnbull, who's never healthy anyway. So the front office got their work cut out for him. Like, there aren't many guys in this lineup who are free agents, and you can just move on from here. You're going to have to get creative. And I think this group as a whole, in terms of the front office, is really going to have to work hard this offseason to improve some of these things. So, did I miss anything before I wrap up? Oh, yes. Last thing. And this was, you know, maybe this got me so mad, especially over the last couple of games. But that was maybe the biggest joke of a postseason broadcast I've ever seen slash heard in my life. It was FS1 or Fox Sports, Adam Amin, Pierzynski, and Waino. Just absolutely awful. And usually I don't like to critique broadcasts because, you know, being in sports media, I know how difficult it is to be able to prepare and to, you know, execute these things. But, like, it's the freaking postseason, man. And you're making it sound like it's a weekend series in May. Like, how many times do we have to talk about Sean Manaea's crossfire method? It felt like it was an entire game they were talking about it. And they didn't let the game breathe at all. They didn't let the crowd breathe at all. Like, you had some phenomenal crowds in the series, which, by the way, I heard the Citi Field crowd was great and all, but I still think that Citizens Bank Park probably had a better atmosphere just from what I was seeing from reporters and, you know, other people that were at both of the stadiums. And it just, they never let the moment speak for itself. And what the biggest travesty might be out of all of this, out of not moving on for the Phillies, is that we get robbed of a Joe Davis series in the NLCS. So, just brutal. I thought they did a horrific job. And even, like, the camera work on some of the check swings, like, I want to see a replay to see if he swung or not. And it was just, oh, so bad. And meanwhile, speaking of terrible calls, and I'll get a wrap up after this, but that ball was a fair ball last night. Like, are we joking? Are we kidding? Like, what are we doing? I mean, this is a postseason game, and who knows? The Phillies probably don't come back because, you know, that's just how it had gone with runners in scoring position all series. But that game was still very much in the balance, and that ball was clearly over the bag. I forget which umpire it was. I just forgetting off the top of my head, but a horrific call in that spot, and frankly, it just summed up the Philly series in terms of just nothing going their way and just nothing going right. And it was, again, they probably don't even end up scoring those runs considering what went on in terms of the offense throughout the entire series. So had to get all of that off my chest, and man, just waking up this morning, walking into work, doing everything, just disappointment, man. And it is really a shame because there were so many points throughout, especially the first half of the year, where you thought, wow, it really is all aligning for them. And it just feels like everyone's in their prime. This is kind of the time to do it. You know, there was no, I guess, consensus best team in baseball, really. And it's not like you had some juggernaut in the American League either where you were going to end up facing off against them in the World Series. For the Dodgers, this is the year Otani's not pitching, and their whole staff was banged up. The Padres are really hot. The Mets are really hot. Wouldn't be shocked if that's the NLCS, but just a big, big missed opportunity. And that's why I think it's more disappointing than anger at this point, just because of, you know, how the expectations were kind of set for this team halfway through the year, and just for them to kind of slowly fade as the summer went on and ultimately wrap up a really disappointing postseason with just, you know, four games. And they're going to have to live with that all offseason, and you know, hopefully it lights a fire onto them, because it was really, really disappointing to watch. So with all that, I'm going to wrap this up by saying just really tough, really tough. Disappointing, sucks, man. Just really a likable bunch of guys, too. That is why I think it's so tough. The Phillies are a really likable bunch of dudes. I think they have a great clubhouse. I do think they have leadership there. And I don't think this was for a lack of effort or caring, but it just really feels like something has to change this offseason, or the feeling going into next year is going to be different than the past couple. So with that, thank you for listening all season. Seriously, thank you for listening every week to Phillies Today. I'll be doing pods throughout the offseason, so stay tuned for those, and what a shame. For Phillies 24/7, this has been Justin Morgenstein, and have a good one, everybody. I'll see you.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4, packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free, all on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Payoff up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.